on, welcome everyone. Welcome back to the Pick and Pop podcast. It has been some time since we've been back on the airwaves. Steve Chalmers, Craig Freeman back for 2019. Happy New Year. We're up to episode 10 of the podcast. And Craig, it's good to be back joining you once again.
It is great to be back. And I'm starting the year off in a very professional form. I've just taken a mouth of dinner and I got a lot of sriracha chili sauce in my mouth. So struggling.
Excellent.
At the moment, we'll power through a number of number 10s.
Well, I'm glad you've touched on that. I did mention episode 10 at the very beginning. Number 10, we've been doing this for the last maybe two or three episodes where we're declaring a certain individual in accordance to the episode number that they wore as their playing jersey number.
Controversy last time because you went with number 9 as Cedric Jackson.
Yes, of course. One and only. Now, I'm thinking number 10. Number 10 is pretty obvious because, you know, it's one of the greatest players in Australian basketball.
An absolute superstar. The Godfather? No, sorry, not the Godfather. We know who the Godfather is.
I wouldn't
is.
Go the Godfather. But it's close enough to the GOAT. Number 10, currently plying their trade with the Sydney Uni Flames, Shanae Greaves. You're looking at me like I'm wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Andrew Gaze, the one and only... the son of the Godfather. Number 10, Andrew Gaze. You can go through them too. Tom Abercrombie, number 10 from the New Zealand Breakers.
Katie Ray Ebsery and Jade Melbourne from the Melbourne Boomers. But also, quick shout out, Shanae Greaves, one of the nicest players in the WNBL.
100%.
Great person and has been playing well lately, a beast on the boards.
Mm-hmm. We also can mention Mitch McCarron as well from Melbourne United. There's plenty of number 10s out there. Number 10 is a very popular number. Jump on Twitter, use the hashtag PNRPod, interact with us. At CP underscore Chalmers, at C Freeman, that's SEE. We love to hear your feedback, questions, statements, what you'd like to hear on the show throughout 2019. But use that hashtag PNRPod to get in touch. Let's start off episode 10 with Light It Up. Well, Light It Up, it's exactly what we're about to talk about. Who lit it up over, well, the nice break that we could have. We're not just going to talk about this past week. We're going to talk about the break, which probably lasted about a month, maybe not quite a month, 3 weeks even. Mm-hmm. But you can't go past the number one player who lit it up. And it's probably more recently over the last week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's Benjamin Simmons.
Yeah, he had a 20-point, 20-rebound, 9-assist game a couple of days ago and followed it up again with a nice game. Philly have been playing well lately. He's really finding his groove. I think they've touched, both players and coaches have touched on how well he's doing lately at finding his spots, knowing when to pass, when to shoot, when to go hard for boards, when to get others involved, and he's building a nice rapport with Butler. There was a little bit of controversy surrounding Jimmy Butler, but I think that's settled down, and the longer they play together, the better they'll get.
Well, Joel Embiid missed some time, and that's when Ben really stepped up and took control of the team. Obviously, you touched on the Jimmy Butler situation. We're probably going to talk about it closer to the playoffs, whether that big three can really put it together and become a championship-credentialed team. I'm not sold on it at the moment, but come March and April, we may be talking about that a little bit more in depth. Another guy in the NBA, Joe Ingles, flying.
Joe Ingles. He has become like a folk hero out there in Utah. He's playing some great basketball. He didn't shoot the ball too well over a week or two span, but he's been doing everything else really well, and he's got the shot back. They were point guardless for about 2 weeks, and he stepped up and filled a lot of that void along with Donovan Mitchell. We'll touch on him a little bit later. Now onto the home shores, and Sean Long has been on fire.
Well, they call him Mr. Double-Double in NBL circles these days. And I did say it on another podcast. I'm not quite sure how he was given the nickname Mr. Double-Double when most of the time he's grabbing 8 or 9 rebounds. But, you know, such is life. He's grabbed 10 rebounds a couple of times and then he had that one monster game when he grabbed 19 or 20. So if you're going to call yourself Mr. Double-Double, you better make sure that 9 times out of 10, you're double-doubling. But enough being said, he has played exceptionally well, put the Breakers in another position to potentially cause an upset and make the playoffs. Obviously, they're chasing that fourth spot between Adelaide and Brisbane as well. But he's put their team in a position.
He's also put 10... sorry.
There goes the chili.
There goes the sriracha again. He's also put $10,000 on the line saying he can beat Mr. Andrew Bogut one-on-one.
I love that one because Andrew Bogut's $10,000 is about 20 cents to you and I, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
He could take his $10,000 and pretty much pickpocket it from Sean Long because...
Can Sean Long dribble?
He'd destroy him.
Like, Sean Long does do certain things better than Bogut. Mm-hmm. He's more athletic.
Yes. Can shoot the three ball better than Bogut. But more athletic, but...
Can he put the ball on the floor the way Bogut does?
I'm just not sure. Bogut is an NBA veteran for a reason. Sean Long is still plying his trade in the NBL, trying to make it to the NBA for a reason. Mallow Trimble's a guy that's well on the way up, and he's destined for the NBA, speaking of. And he's lighting it up for the Cairns Taipans.
He is an absolute jet. I think we'll definitely see him get his opportunity next year at higher levels. But been a pleasure to watch him in the league. It doesn't say... it speaks volumes about Cairns this year that they've had a guy who arguably is the most talented player in the league and haven't been able to put together a winning season.
They just continue to attract top-level talent at a cheap price coming out of the collegiate system, obviously. We've seen guys up north, Jamal Wilson, Scotty Wilbekin, Mallow Trimble. They all come to Cairns first, and the NBL, you know, the other teams then start to poach them because obviously they've got a little bit more coin than the Taipans. But it's great to see that they can still have their hero up north. WNBL, Kelsey Griffin, MVP favourite, arguably.
Yep.
She's probably a breakaway leader at the moment. But between Kelsey Griffin and the rejuvenated Beck Cole, those two absolutely have been lighting it up in December, January.
Yeah, Beck Cole's a walking 25, 5-5, pretty much game in, game out, pretty efficient. She's played off the ball a little more this year than I think she has pretty much her whole professional career. And you said the right word, rejuvenated. She has gone to another level. This is the kind of play people expected from her when she was 17, 18, coming through the ranks. Obviously had a couple of injuries. Really has got her body in pristine shape right now. Looks $1 million on the court. And she should be All-Star 5. She could be All-Star 5 this year, which is amazing. Like, the Melbourne Boomers let her go.
Mm-hmm.
And she has absolutely torn it up for Dandenong this year.
Absolutely.
Kelsey Griffin, coming off a couple of injuries, her new scenery, has just played really well and got that team rolling on the right track. Probably up there as championship favourites or second favourites right now.
Sitting in first, the University of Canberra Capitals, and they have locked in first place, I believe, because they've obviously got the home finals. I'm not 100% sure on that because I know between the Boomers and the Caps, they've both locked in 1-2 home finals, first and second position. But between Griffin and Cole, they've been rewarded for their top seasons because the Opal squad has been released and they're both on the list.
Yeah, they are. Beck Cole gets into the squad for, and she's looking to make her first Opal team. There's a couple of others joining her. Darcy Garbin, Lauren Nicholson, Talia Tupaya, Christy Wallace, and Alex Wilson all aiming to make their first ever Opals team. They join Sammy Whitcomb and Alex Bunton, who made their national debuts last year. And there's also a couple of players coming back from injury looking to make the team. Once again, Sarah Blitzarves is on that list, and I think Leilani Mitchell as well.
So a 22-man named January 2019 Chemist Warehouse Australian Opal squad. Only 12 make the list, I believe, the roster.
So.
Is there anyone that stands out that was arguably a surprise to make the initial 22? And I tell you what, picking a 12 from that's tough.
Yeah, the 12's hard enough, and the decision alone, which of the naturalized players you choose, one of Whitcomb, Griffin, or Mitchell will make the team. I think it's safe to say one of them will, but you can only choose one. It's probably going to be a guard, and it's tough because Kelsey's been unbelievable this year, but there's a lot of forwards, there's a lot of multi-skilled forwards on the Opals team already, and I think the hole is probably at point guard, especially defensively, keeping up with some of those speedier point guards around the world.
Well, it's interesting too because Whitcomb's obviously now overseas playing in France, so
she's
somewhat forgotten about in the eyes of the Australian public. Obviously, when she was playing in Perth, she was front and center. Everyone thought, "Yep, you've got to put her straight into the Australian lineup." But Leilani Mitchell, Kelsey Griffin, both playing for the Caps. They'll be front and centre.
Yeah, I think... So, Rebecca Allen's a lock. Liz Cambage, lock. After that, you're probably looking at... Jenna O'Hare's a lock. She's the captain. Is there anyone else who's a lock?
Well, you're looking at this list. Abby Bishop.
Yeah, Abby Bishop.
If she can make sure that she stays healthy. Sarah Blitzarv's coming back and is healthy. Alex Bunton, if healthy. Katie Ray-Abzeri has put together a good season. Alana Smith, obviously, tearing up at Stanford, which we'll mention later on in the podcast. And then you're looking to your guards. And as you mentioned, it's tough trying to pick four, potentially five guards.
Yeah, it could be cool seeing Tess Madgen running around as an Opal again. She's had a couple of years out with injury, of course, but played very well back in the WNBL this year. And Rebecca Cole, if you're going off form, of any guards in the WNBL, she could have the best form in the league.
Well, you mentioned the WNBL. The WNBL finals are kicking off in just over a week's time. The final round is this weekend. There's a couple of retirements happening this weekend. Susie Bakovic is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
346 WNBL games. She retires this Saturday evening at Townsville Stadium versus the Sydney Uni Flames. Under those 346 games, five championships, six most valuable players, seven all-star fives. She leads the league in scoring ever. Second in the WNBL for rebounds, third for blocks. Unbelievable.
Is the most decorated player to probably ever play in the WNBL if you're going on overall record?
In the WNBL, absolutely.
And, you know, it's sad, obviously, not seeing her play finals again because it would have been unbelievable to see her have another crack. But one upside is she'll be able to finish her career in Townsville.
Correct. And that's the way to do it. Speaking of retirements, reigning Defensive Player of the Year, Kayla Pedersen, applying her trade at the Dandenong Rangers, has also decided that she will hang it up. Mm-hmm. At the end of the season, she had a career spanning across WNBA, WNBL, and Europe. So she's had an illustrious career.
Yeah, very good career. Great teammate and someone who I think everyone loves to have around. She does all the small things as well as being a star as well.
Just before we move on, I mentioned that Caps Boomers are 1-2. They have home semifinals. Are you expecting to see both of them in the big dance?
Yeah, I think that's what I called before the season. And they're the two most talented teams, in my perspective. They have a lot of experience, Opal's experience on both teams all over the place. And I'd be very surprised if that wasn't the final. And I think it's going to be awesome. I think we're going to get a maximum amount of games if those two teams meet. And it'll be a thrilling contest.
Very exciting. Looking forward to the WNBL finals. Switching across to the NBL, there's been a bit of movement, and it's sometimes due to some injuries. We start with the Adelaide 36ers. Ramon Moore has gone down with a calf injury. Interestingly enough, the statistic came out that when he went down at Melbourne United with a calf injury, the team was 10-10. This year, he's at Adelaide with a calf injury. The team is 10-10. What a coincidence. But anywho,
where did Melbourne finish that year?
Well,
they played finals, didn't they?
2 years ago, I think they lost to New Zealand Breakers in the semifinals.
Yeah.
Anywho, Sean Bruce is the replacement. Will come in and back up Nathan Sobey at the point guard position, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Does it change much in the chances of Adelaide making the playoffs?
Well, I think Moore's obviously a huge loss. He lifted his ball handling duties and he seemed to pick up that skill or style of play really well. We're probably going to see Sobey off the ball a little bit more now because if Sean Bruce plays, he has to play point guard. I think it's fair to say he'll guard point guards. He's not a bad fill-in at this point in the season. Has played pretty well in the NBL before. A young guy who still has some upside. He has played for Adelaide before, hasn't he?
Sean Bruce, yes.
I think Sobey might have the ball in his hands a little bit less at some point in the game, but... Tough thing is defensively, Moore had a little more size and you could throw Sobey at point guards and he could just monster them. If Sobey's guarding twos where he's a little more similar size and Bruce is probably similar size to point guards, you maybe lose a little bit of an edge on that end.
Yeah, fair enough. I may be wrong. I think Sean Bruce was training with the Cairns Taipans throughout the season, so he is fit. He is ready. He's been given the call by Joey Wright. We'll slot straight into the Adelaide 36ers and we'll play immediately. Ray Turner feels a need for the Sydney Kings. Backup big Dane Pinot obviously hasn't been cutting it for the coaching staff. Andrew Bogut goes off and the plus minus falls in a heap. The Sydney Kings have decided now is the time. Ray Turner, a Siebel import out of Bendigo Braves, has already re-signed for the 2019 Elite League season, formerly from the WA SBL, which is where he originated to be found in Australia. Big-time player, but is he big enough?
Well, is there any reason come playoff time you don't just start Bogut, play him 30 minutes, and then your 10 minutes of backup centre kick it? And then, you know, you roll the remaining minutes into Ware at power forward?
Yeah, well, it's fair enough if you can play Ware alongside Daniel Kickett during those times.
You only have to play 10 minutes off it, probably.
Yeah, correct. Well, you know, if Bogut is playing 35 minutes in the playoffs, it's only five, because you know you can only have a maximum of three games.
I think I'd just rather take the punt, be awesome on offense, and Kickett's played enough center in his career.
Right before the end of the regular season, do you think Andrew Bogut gets rested?
I don't think he has to. He played in the NBA where the schedule was hectic. This is resting for him.
Knew that was coming. Why are the Perth Wildcats struggling?
Well, you've written on the notes, why do Perth suck? So I'm going to let you take this one away.
Well, it's interesting because there's two things on this. The Perth Wildcats are struggling because they were 10-1 and now they've lost a few games. Perth, being the most prestigious NBL team, obviously have high expectations. If this was someone like Adelaide, they started 10-1. Well, gee, they've regressed to the mean. They're now 10-5, 11-6, 12-6, 12-7. You know what? They've regressed. If it's the Cairns Taipans, they were 10-1. They've gone, this is what we expected to happen. They're always going to fall off eventually. But the Perth Wildcats have made the playoffs for 30-something consecutive seasons, and there's so much pressure on that organisation that it's all from external. The internal pressures are probably there. They're not letting it out, but they're going, we have the team to get it done. And I agree. I think they have the team because the external pressures are saying they've got Bryce Cotton and they've got Tarico White. They're their two imports. They are now, after Brisbane signed AJ Davis and Sydney signed Ray Turner, they're now the only team to have two imports and not fulfill the three import quota. There's a lot of external media saying they're not getting the three imports. That's where they're going wrong. There's nothing wrong with grinding out 85 to 80 games during the regular season, because that's what you're going to see in the playoffs. You're going to see defensive intensity lift and rise. The Perth Wildcats are going to come out and be successful with their grit and grind mentality. And it won't matter if they finish first or second or even third. I know home court advantage certainly matters to NBL teams, but Tarico White has arguably been pretty good in the first three quarters. Yes, you can say he's underperformed in the fourth, but that will come.
That's Cotton time anyway.
That will come, and that exactly right. Bryce Cotton can play the first three quarters average, and he'll show up in the fourth. They've harped on about it, about Casper Ware, Mr. Fourth Quarter, finds his groove. Bryce Cotton does the same thing, and we've shown it because Casper Ware won Melbourne a championship last year. Bryce Cotton won Perth the championship the year before. They will find their groove. And they've got players. Tom Jervis has been underwhelming this season. He can find his touch. Angus Brandt, somewhat the same. He'll find his touch.
He's been hurt a little bit this year too, so hopefully he comes into form a little more.
Exactly. And this may be the cutoff for Perth because they've got guys that are aging. Your Jesse Wagstaffs, the guys come off the bench, Greg Heyer. They will be coming to the end of their stint in Perth, but it's not now. It may be the end of the season, but it's not now.
They are one import short on the rest of the league, but I think the big thing here is Sydney got considerably better over the off-season. I think Melbourne got better over the off-season. Added Mitch.
Arguably.
Added Mitch.
Lost a big piece in Ty Wesley.
Yeah, yeah, but I guess they still retooled in some way and changed things up. Brisbane definitely got better over the off-season.
100%.
Perth, did they get better?
Probably a bit the same. Same.
And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. They were elite. But
But they didn't make the finals.
When you don't make changes...
Or the grand final.
When you don't make changes, it's easier at the start of the season.
Correct.
Because you're trying to fit Mitch McCarron into your team. You're trying to fit DJ into your team. How do you use Bairstow? How does Bogut fit with Kickett? And how does Randall get his touches? Et cetera, et cetera. Maybe that start of the season, you know, they clicked straight away. And it's easy. They added Tarico. That's all they had to do. It was a straight swap from Tokido to White. maybe that just, they were able to get the jump on a few teams. Maybe this is who they are. And that early start might have given people expectations that were too high.
Fair point. Let's flip it over to the NBA now, and let's go to some more positive news, but it turns into some negative news as well at the same time. Dante Exum dominating at the Jazz, and the Jazz absolutely love him. He was finding some form.
As soon as we stopped podcasting, Dante absolutely started tearing it up. He was playing pretty much all the backup 1 and 2 minutes. He was great with the ball. He started a game against New York where he had 9 assists. I had 16 assists in like 20 minutes. Was tearing it up. He was finishing inside really well. He was doing everything that everyone thought he would do coming out of, not college, coming out of high school and the year off. And then he got hurt again, and it sucks because he
did it again,
legitimately turning into a starting point guard in front of our eyes.
He did it again. He's now sitting on the sidelines once again. Get better, Dante. Dingadell, happy times. Happy times. Signs a two-way contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we've now got two Aussies on Cleveland.
Yeah, he was rolling around in the G League for a little bit, was given a non-guaranteed contract at the start of this season, then was waived by Toronto. Nice to see him get a chance there. On a team like Cleveland, he'll probably get a shot to play 20 to 30 games. Hopefully he can show something and stick on a roster again next year.
10 Aussies now plying their trade in the NBA. Let's hope it's 11-plus in the near future. Alana Smith and Tiana Mangakihaya. I've got that completely wrong. Tiana Mangakihaya.
Yep.
We're going with it. Named to the Women's John Wooden Award list. They are amongst those vying for one of the top...
John Wooden. Did you just say John Wooden?
John Wooden.
That's better.
What did I say? John Wooden.
Wooden.
I wooed you. John Wooden. They are amongst those vying for one of the top individual awards in college basketball. Syracuse point guard features one of the 5 players from the ACC on the list, while Smith, the Stanford senior, makes up a Pac-12 cohort of 6 that leads all conferences in numbers of players selected. But there is some bad news in college women.
Yeah, another star that's been over for a couple of years, Alex Sharp, has broken her hand and will be sidelined for 4 to 6 weeks, which is terrible news. But there is an absolute host of Aussies tearing it up in college. Jack White has gone to another level for Duke. Dejan is still one of the most dangerous scorers going around. Players all over the place. I think Chantel Horvath's been playing really well lately. Bibby, just a number of athletes playing their trade and really doing good work. And I think we're just going to see more and more becoming pros.
Too many to name for the John Wooden Award, of course. But Alana Smith, Tiana, congratulations to you. Let's move forward and let's go to I Just Wanna. Craig was just singing the introduction while it was being played, and it was probably not safe for audio on the podcast. But, you know, good job, Craig. We'll work on that. I'll start it off. I just want to see people buying Australian players' NBA jerseys. The top 10 Australian NBA jersey sales were released, if I've got that right, this past week. Ben Simmons second. Kyrie Irving 7th, Joe Ingles 10th. So we've got 3 on the list. We've got 3 Australians on the list.
That's pretty good.
Ben,
considering
Kyrie,
like Dally's changed as well, so that split his sales.
Exactly. Now, I understand why Ben is second, because I'd love Ben to be first, but LeBron James is number one.
And he's just changed teams.
And he's just changed teams, and everyone, you know bandwagons the Lakers, because that's what they do in Australia. You just support the Lakers, or you support the Cavs, and you support LeBron, and you don't really know what the other 29 teams are in the NBA. But speaking of, not only do I want to see people repping Australian names in the NBA, I want to see people wearing NBL jerseys, because we've seen it happen in the snapbacks, which was probably, what, 4 or 5 years ago, where snapbacks were a fashion item of the NBA teams. I want to see NBL jerseys become popular to wear on the streets again. And because of that, I just want it to be a little bit easier on the hip pocket, because they are quite expensive. Anywhere between $90 and $110.
Yeah, I think they are a little bit pricey considering what you can get an NBA jersey
Correct.
For. The other thing is, how many people want to walk around with SodaStream and Hungry Jacks and
bumper stickers.
Yeah,
those bumper stickers that are around. Yeah, look, it hurts.
But I know they've got to do it to make the money.
But brings in the dollars.
The other thing is, I think I might like them to look a little bit better. If that might be harsh, but NBA jerseys generally, I think, have a bit of a cleaner look to them.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they've certainly attempted to go down that pathway over the last number of years, and they've even introduced the new City jerseys, which is a rip-off of the NBA City jerseys, but fair play to them. They've tried something out of the box, out of the usual for the NBL, and I think it can be somewhat of a success because they're tying it in with the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah, that's obviously a great cause. Some of these City jerseys, though, Steel City.
Steel City.
Do you call them Steel City?
I call them Illawarra Wollongong.
What was the...
But according to Illawarra Faithful, I do believe they may be Steel City.
What about River City?
What about Swoop City?
Swoop City. I've never heard anyone say Swoop City.
They got Magpies, but I don't think anyone's ever called them Swoop City.
The River City jersey, just quietly, is exactly the same as the Golden State Warriors City jersey.
The town, the same.
I even think they've used the Golden State Bridge. I reckon they haven't changed it to a Brisbane Bridge.
they originally marked the design and they were like, we'll change that. But, oh, whoops, now we're just printed it. We forgot about it. Oh, well, we'll go with it. I didn't think they were too bad.
Nah, I like them trying things. I think that's a step in the right direction.
Correct. I think next year's City jerseys, which I hope they go again, will be another step in the right direction.
Rural jerseys instead of City jerseys.
Rural jerseys. They've got the alternates. The first, the second, and the alternate. Mm-hmm. There you go. Rural jerseys. What would Queensland just be tropical? Like Cairns is just like tropical city?
Yep. And although Tropic Thunder?
Tropic Thunder.
Well, the tropicals, isn't that semi-pro?
Yeah, semi-pro. The Flint Tropics. Let's get tropical. That's what they can just put on the back instead of their name. Let's get tropical. There you go. Speaking of designs, you've got one for us.
I just want a pair of those sick Kayla George kicks. If you haven't seen these, it is Lifeline Round this weekend in the WNBL, which is a great cause and pushed by Boomers captain Jenna O'Hare. She had a very strong hand in making this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Kayla George wears Nikes. She has a teammate by the name of
Ash Grant.
Ash Grant, of course, who's a great artist.
Seems to be the number one artistic player in the competition.
Well, she's going against this very small list right now. She's definitely come up on top. Grant has designed and painted on Kayla George's shoes just a number of inspirational things that Kayla likes in her everyday life, and they look awesome. When we put this podcast up on Twitter or Facebook, we'll include the image, I'm sure. These are awesome. Go have a look at them right now. Nike, if you distributed these, I would buy a pair.
I'll tell you what, I'm just getting up now. Because between the two of them, they've done so well. Kayla George has her own business, and it is called Remy and Coco. R-E-H-M-E-E and Coco, C-O-C-O. Great little sort of clothing line where you can jump on and help support a WNBL player. And Ash Grant has also just dropped a line of more a jewelry collection. And it's Ash A. Lola dot designs on Instagram. Ash A. Lola, L-O-L-A, dot designs.
It's definitely the most
on Instagram.
This is the most shout-outs we've ever had.
So there you go. There's a quick promo to the both of them because I am big fan, like you, of these shoes. They're being auctioned off. So Kayla George will wear these during the WNBL playoffs or the WNBL finals. And after the Boomers are finished, they will be auctioned off and all the proceeds will go to Lifeline Australia. Brilliant, brilliant work. And I kid you not, they are some of the sweetest shoes I've seen in this country.
Just got one request. Whoever plays the Boomers in the first round or the second round, or please do not step on Kayla George's feet when you're boxing out, because these things are way too nice.
Because Craig's got a bid on them later on and wants to make sure they're in pristine condition. So there you go. Let's move forward. So funky. Don't feel funky to me. Don't feel funky to me. Don't So Funky, found anything funky throughout the week, let us know. Get on the pod, use the hashtag PNRPod. Same goes with anything you'd like to have on the podcast. I just wonders, anything in the world of Aussie hoops and So Funky, which is where we're up to now. Now, I found a couple of tweets throughout this week that up to six AFL clubs are monitoring Sydney Kings guard Tom Wilson. Averages about 12 seconds a game this season, which is significantly undervalued because he should be playing a little bit more. I know he's young, he's still developing. But
it's tough because he's on such a good team as well.
That as well. But six AFL clubs are monitoring Tom Wilson and they're monitoring the NBL. Can they just keep their hands off NBL guys? Like Hugh Greenwood is enough. Yep. Enough. Mm-hmm. I know we've got Craig Moller.
We stole Moller back.
But
well, didn't really steal. He got... Stop.
But what's with... I know basketballers are good and they're very talented at most sports. Like, that's just right. What
he did
they
play
do.
Footy growing up.
But can you just let him pursue his NBL dream?
Yeah, look, he's going to be a very, very good basketball player. He apparently, at the 2013 Under-16 Championships, he tore it up for football.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, they've been sniffing around. But by all accounts, he is playing Elite League in the off-season.
I'm glad.
So if he's signed there, you'd assume...
No football for you. Now, I'll leave yours to last because yours is the best, so I'll finish off. WNBL declared last week that the University of Canberra Capital star Kelsey Griffin, who we've spoken a lot about, made the team of the week for a record 10th time. Huge. Only for someone to come back at the league and say, well, no, Sammy Whitcomb has that record at 13 times two seasons ago. The WNBL, very well done, had replied, and that they said that they are indeed fake news, which I thought was a nice touch. Joe Ingles, let us know.
Joe Ingles is a mother legend.
Got her own little...
That was my title.
Beeping sign.
If you've missed the week of Joe Ingles, he has had a fun week. Utah's winning games. He's hitting shots. He knocked down a huge game-sealing triple against Detroit in Utah, right in the corner, knocked it down, turned around. There was a Detroit fan sitting courtside who had been talking smack all game. Joe hit the three, turned, blew a kiss.
Love it.
Walked two steps away, turned back around, and started motioning and saying, you've been talking all game, and then just walked off.
Too much talk in the front row. Please, sit down. What else did he do?
Oh, a couple of games later. Might have been the next game, actually. Joe Ingles set a back pick on Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin is sure he got about 20 kilos on Joe Ingles. I think minimum. That's fair to say. He's 2 inches bigger and he's a lot wider. Blake maybe might have exaggerated the contact, fell over a little bit from the contact. Ingles just started laughing. Blake stood up and Ingles said straight to Blake's face, you're a flopper, and just walked off.
Flopper.
I think he's probably the best trash talker in the league right now. He does not care. He'll go at anyone. He was... In the playoffs last year, he was right in Paul George's face the whole time. This guy wasn't even in the NBA 4 years ago.
Which is not good because he's going to retire, Joe Ingles, and people are going to be like, he played X amount of years. He should have played so many more years because he is a god.
He is so... But the thing is, he didn't play much basketball. He's basically in his prime right now. He's playing career-best basketball.
He is.
He's got another 2 years on the contract, I'm pretty sure. He's at least going to be good for that long. But, gee, I can't wait to see him suit up in the NBL again because he's just going to light defenses on fire and talk smack the whole time.
It's going to be great. Stay with us. Episode 10, done and dusted. Use the hashtag PNRPod to get in touch. Download, subscribe for us so you can stick around for next week. Hopefully, we've entertained you enough. On the number 10, Jade Melbourne, Sinead Greaves, Katie Raves-Airy, Tom Abercrombie, Mitch McCarron, Andrew Gaze podcast. We'll see you back here next week.